I'm just calling this from Covington to eternity. From Covington to eternity. It's a real challenge to get anyone to think about eternity. I mean, to really think about eternity. We are focused on so many things. We have so many things demanding our attention and pulling on us and distracting us. And sometimes it's not even distractions, it's just life. But we have so many things vying for our attention. And they're all right now things. They're all immediate things. They are pressures and they are needs and they are tasks and they are pressing things. And for most of us, we are so weighted down with life that we can't think beyond the next few minutes. We really can't think beyond a few days at a time. Sometimes hours. I want you to hear me today. Eternity is forever. Eternity is forever. And every single one of us are going to spend eternity somewhere. Do I have your attention yet? We're going to spend eternity somewhere. There are no exceptions to that rule. Every single one of us will spend eternity somewhere. My goal is not to get you to forget about the right now. That's impossible. That is unrealistic. But I hope I can get you to consider the fact that whatever is happening right now is affecting your eternity. Whatever is swirling in my life right now, whatever is pressing me, whatever is pulling me in all the various directions, it is affecting my eternity. Ecclesiastes 3 and 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. And then the wise man said, He has also set eternity in the human heart. Not just believers' hearts, not just worshipers' hearts, not just churchgoers' hearts, but He has set eternity in the human heart. That means every single one of us has a clock ticking inside of us. Every single one of us has an alarm. Every single one of us has this beating on the inside. And my very crude translation is that He's created all time. He's created every season. He's created everything that we're going to live in and live through. And it's beautiful. We can find beauty in every single season. And He's given it to us for us to enjoy. Not for us to be stressed over. Not for us to be anxious in. Not for us to be overwhelmed by, whether it's your childhood or raising children. He's given us every single season. But He's also set this alarm clock inside of us, and it is set to eternity. This last night was Time Change Sunday. You moved your clocks ahead 1 hour last night, or your phone automatically changed while you were sleeping. And I get it. We'll spend all this week talking about that lost hour. It'll get the blame for everything. The kids acting up, your hair not fixing well, the divorce. It'll get the blame for everything. Time change, that lost hour. But hear me today. God wants us to enjoy the life he's given us. He wants us to enjoy the life he's given us. And you may think, wait a minute, God did that. I mean, I pay these bills. I took that test to get this degree. No. You better give God the glory. Because God wants us to enjoy the life that he has given us. God is the giver of life, but he also wants us to consider the life that is to come. You say, Pastor Darrell, I just don't want to think about that. Yeah, because everything we've ever ignored just sort of fixed itself, right? No. Ladies and gentlemen, your eternity will not fix itself. Your eternity will not solve itself. There is not an automatic adjustment. It's one of the most Googled things ever. This particular week, every year, people asking the question about whether or not their phone will automatically change. And it's the same people asking that same question every single year. Will my phone automatically, and I get it, they're feeling pressed, you know, about waking up, getting up. You know, you get old enough, you just wake up no matter whether the clocks change or not. Just got built-in alarm clocks and all of it works fantastic. But listen to me, your eternity will not automatically update. It's not just going to automatically switch. It adjusts according to our effort. It adjusts according to what we do and how we respond and how we handle the things that happen to us in life. And I want to look at this story in Matthew, and I'm just going to be a few minutes today, but Matthew chapter 19, if you want to turn there with me, this is a powerful story and really incredible to see this conversation unfold. Matthew 19, beginning at verse 16, the Bible said someone came to Jesus with this question. Because this is a real conversation. This is an actual thing that happened between Jesus and this man. And the disciples are all gathered around hearing Jesus converse back and forth with this man. He comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? What one thing could I do? What one thing could I say? What is something I could do that would guarantee me eternal life?" I don't know what it is about human nature that wants to reduce it down to one thing. We want to find the lowest common denominator. What's the one thing I could do right? And if I do that, then I'm good. Everything is great. But you see Jesus begin to push back in this conversation. He asked in verse 17, why ask me about what is good? Jesus replies, you honestly can sense Jesus' frustration. Because he hears this man asking, "What's the least I can do and still get by?" And Jesus said, "There is only one who is good. Why not just take all of me? Why not just accept everything about me? Why not just live by all of my words? Why are you trying to cherry pick? Why are you trying to find that one thing?" But to answer your question, he continues, I'm going to make this as simple as possible, sir. That's what Jesus is saying to this man. To answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Oh, What else, Lord? No, that's it. If you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Which ones? The man asked. I mean, you know, Lord, let's be honest. Some of those commandments seem kind of drastic. Some of those commandments are a little challenging. They are a little difficult. And so Jesus begins to spell it out for him. This is not an uncommon thing. Jesus is not introducing a new concept to this man. This is a man who has been raised in the Jewish tradition. He has been taught this from birth, honestly. He has been told these things and what these commandments are. He can recite them. He knows them backwards and forwards, has them committed to memory. And so he's almost playing this little game with Jesus, trying to figure out what's the least he can get by with and still be saved. And so Jesus said, all right, I'll play ball with you. You must not murder. Well, check. Good. I got that. I've not killed anyone. You must not commit adultery. Lord, have you said that thing yet about the one who lusts on a woman has basically committed? Have you said that yet? Because if you haven't said that yet, I'm good. But if you've already said that, then I, you know, Lord, I'm technically everything is good. He said, you must not steal. What are we talking about, cars or taxes? I'm just preaching. Y'all settle down. You must not testify falsely. In other words, you can't lie. You got to be honest in your dealings, and you got to tell the truth. Honor your father and mother. Perfect. I mowed their grass last week. Love your neighbor as yourself. The one on the right or the one on the left, Lord? Because that one on the left, I don't know. Not sure about them. But the man replies, I got good news, Lord. This is great because I have obeyed all these commandments. I've done it, Lord. I've kept your word. I've kept your law. I've walked according to your commandments. So what else must I do? Because I'm wondering if you've ever felt like this man feels. I've checked everything off the list, but it still feels like something is missing. It feels like something is not quite right. It feels like you are calling me more. It feels like you are trying to draw me closer, and I'm just not sure. And so Jesus tells him in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. And if you think this is about money, you're going to miss it, because it's not about money. He said, if you want to be perfect, then sell your possessions, give that to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. It's an amazing story, Matthew 19, and what it tells me, what it teaches me, and what I think it's going to help all of us understand today is that eternity has conditions. Seems like it always comes down to this for everyone. It's the fine print. I know I'm about to sign this, but what's in the fine print? What else am I going to have to do? And it's important because each of us are wanting to know, just like this guy in Matthew 19 is wanting to know, what else must I do? I'm honestly curious, is this about information or is this about negotiation? Is the reason that I'm asking, is the reason that I'm trying to find out what else must I do? I mean, it's almost this feeling of, am I ever going to arrive? And that's a miserable feeling. And there's a very fine line between conviction and condemnation. God has not come to condemn us. And I absolutely believe that you can get to a place that you can rest in the Lord and be confident in your salvation and know, hey, I'm in good standing with the Lord. And I'm not just walking around wondering, you know, is this going to knock me out? Is this going to push me out? Is this going to trip me up? No, I'm secure. I'm resting in the goodness of the Lord and in the salvation of the Lord. But I feel like something is missing and I can't ignore that feeling. And so it's not about negotiation with the Lord. It's about information. I genuinely want to know what do I need to do to make sure that my eternity is secure with Jesus. And ultimately, eternity is going to come down to two things. And it's going to be the same two things that this man had to choose and had to decide between, and the same two things that he had to reckon with, the same two things that he had to just realize in his own life. Eternity comes down to two things, and here's the first one. Give it all to me. That's what Jesus said. Give it all to me. No, Jesus is not asking you to empty the account. No, Jesus is not asking you to quit the job. He's not asking you to walk away from school. He's not asking you to sacrifice your dreams. Here's what he's asking. He's asking you to be willing to. There's a difference. Not asking you to give everything you have. He's just asking you to acknowledge that everything you have belongs to him anyway. Not asking you to write the check that empties the account. He's just saying, I just wonder if I did ask for it, what would you do? How would you handle it? How would you respond? How would you to react? He's asking each of us to recognize that the only reason we have what we have in the first place is because of him. The house, the job, the kids, the account, the car, the vacation, the 401k, the inheritance, the land, anything, everything, all of it. I have it because Jesus gave it to me. And if he gave it to me, then he can always ask for it back. It's because of him. And he wants us to realize that and be willing to lay it on the altar. Why is that? Why does he want us to be willing to do that? Here's why. So that our stuff doesn't keep us from eternity with him. So that our stuff does not keep us from eternity with him. And you may be saying, you know what, Pastor Dale, I'm just not a stuff guy. I don't care about any of it. None of that means anything to me. And that's great. Congratulations. There's other people in this room that our stuff is, ooh, hey, Lord, hold on now. But he says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. And we read this, and really the only thing we ever focus on are the possessions. It's the possessions part. But Jesus said something else as well. Go ahead, sell what you have, give that to the poor. But here's the other thing I'm going to ask you to do, because eternity comes down to two things. Give it all to me and come follow me. If you want to have eternal life, then give it all to me. But I'm going to ask you to come and follow me as well. Because the truth of the matter is, if I'm honest with you, I don't know which of these two things tripped this guy up. I honestly am not sure. Some would say, oh man, that's easy. It's the money. I don't know. Usually people that have money have learned how to get more of it. And so he may feel secure in that. I could lose it all, and I know how to make more. I know how to get more, and I can go back and get more. I could give all of this today. I could hand all of this over, and I know how to get more, and I could make that happen, recover all of that in just a short amount of time. So maybe he feels secure in that. But eternity with Jesus comes down to following Jesus. Daily, every single day, not just a Sunday thing, not just an occasional thing, not just an every now and then thing, not just a when times get tough or when circumstances get tight, not just when I'm in desperate need of prayer. No, eternity comes down to a daily walk with Jesus, living according to his word, dying to self, setting boundaries and living within them, taking up my own cross. Peter, James, John, come on guys, let's go. Come and follow me. And they said, should we bring our poles? Should we bring our nets? What do you want us to do with this boat we own? Jesus said, leave it all. Leave it all, come and follow me. But Lord, we're successful fishermen. We can't just leave all of this behind. You can, because I've got plans for you. I'm gonna make you fishers of men. Tie that boat off. We'll circle back eventually. We'll use that boat to spread the message. Eventually, we'll use that pole and those nets, and we'll see it all work together for your good. But what I need right now is your willingness to leave it all behind and choose to follow me. And I know there's just no way. I paced the office all week because there's no way to preach eternity and just be giddy about it. There's no way to preach eternity and just joke after joke. No, there is a weight to this word, and there is a heaviness in this atmosphere. Not condemnation. No. But an understanding and a realization that, wait a minute, I've got plans beyond just the next couple of hours of my life. I've got plans beyond just the to-do list that I've made out for this week. There is something happening. There is an eternity on the way, and I've got to figure out what I need to do to make sure I'm living eternity with Jesus. I can't miss eternity with Jesus. And so today is about a choice. A choice. Yeah. Peter, James, John, you're either gonna do this with me, or you're going to do that without me. You're either going to follow me and do my will, or you're going to live according to your own plan and your own will for your lives. What choice do you think is the best choice? It's always going to be the choice to follow Jesus. It's always going to be the decision to walk with him. Wherever you are today, whatever you may be grappling with today, whatever two directions you may feel pulled in today, whether it's the dreams, the plans, the will of God in your life, or if it's the call of flesh and just, you know, satisfying the passions of a moment, for a moment, whatever two options you have today, I pray that you choose eternity with Jesus. Because the truth is, eternity is happening either way. Eternity is coming either way, and I've only got two options. I'm either with him, or I am without him. Say, Pastor Dale, don't make it that plain. No one preaches that plain anymore. It's not just binary options. No, I have to be honest with you. It is. Eternity with Jesus or eternity without Jesus. That's the only two options I have. And the Bible said that when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Let me ask this question today. It's a probing question. It's a challenging question, but I gotta ask it. What possessions or plans do you have that are more important than eternity with Jesus? What possession? What plan? What do you have in your life that's more important than eternity? Is it money? Is it dreams? Is it a relationship? Listen, nothing matters that much. Nothing. Nothing matters that much. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed in this room. Just stay still for just a moment if you can. Lord, it's from here to eternity. It's where we are right now. It's what we're living right now. It's what we're feeling right now. And I feel pulled. Maybe this is you today. You feel pulled. You feel distracted. Today, I got to make a choice. Does everything have to become perfect in my life? No, it will never be perfect in your life. On the other side of this decision, because this is what's held me back all of these years, is feeling like I'm not going to be able to live up to or measure up to God's call on my life. Once and for all, get this in your spirit, sir. Your job is not to measure up. Your responsibility is to say yes. And then let Jesus do the measuring in your life. young man, young woman, mom, dad, grandparent, hey, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments. What else? Give it all to me. Come, follow me. Today, Lord, I want to accept your call to follow. I want to accept your call to follow. Today, I repent of my sin. Today, I submit to you. Today, I lay it all on the line. There is nothing more important. There is nothing that matters more to me than my salvation. Thank you for every blessing. Thank you for every gift. Thank you for jobs. Thank you for house. Thank you for all of the stuff, but the stuff is not more important than my soul.